Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. Hello and welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. And if you are a solopreneur, chances are you're wondering, how exactly do I become successful in my craft, pursuing my passion? And that's what episode 95 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is going to provide you with as we focus on a conversation about thriving as an unemployable socialpreneur. So today's guest is the host of the Solopreneur Hour podcast, which takes us on deep dive interviews of some of your favorite entrepreneurs and influencers three times a week. The mission behind our guest podcast is to provide you with actionable steps and actions that help you with your ventures and inspire you to take massive action. And now to join with us today to talk about being a successful, unemployable solopreneur, our guest, Michael O'Neill.
Mark, how'd that feel, buddy? It was amazing. How did it feel for you?
I felt amazing, actually.
Good, right?
Thank you for giving me that tip.
Feel like I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock. And I love the I'm from Philly, so I'm gonna switch into my like East Coast mode accent right now. So I'm very excited about this.
I'm very excited to have you on the show, Michael, and thank you for giving me those tips on my intro, because that was definitely a very different intro format. So I mentioned about how you started the Solopreneur Hour podcast three times a week. For anyone wondering, you can find that at solohour.com. But can you talk with us a little bit about why you started the Solopreneur Hour podcast?
Yeah, you know, it was by mistake. Actually, it was I had never intended on being a podcast host or anything like that. I was a web guy and a branding guy and a designer for most of my career, and then I had kind of a big personal tragedy. I lost both my parents within a few months of each other, and not only that, but the whole process completely wiped me out financially. So I started over again in 2009, and I was working with this network marketing company. And the dude, the guy that was the kind of the head of personal development for this network marketing company, I saw speak in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and he was amazing. And he came to me with a YouTube question once, because at the time I was doing a lot of social media training, and he just said, "Hey, how do I do this?" And I said, "Well, you know, you could do that, but we should really think about growing your brand." And he said, "How do we do that?" And I said, "Well, what about a podcast?" And he said, because I've been a podcast fan since like 2004. Was that before you were alive? I'm not sure about that, Mark.
No, 1998.
Kidding. But I was like, I said, "You want about a podcast?" And he said, "Well, what's a podcast?" I'm like, "Oh, it's like a radio show that you download on demand." So I created this show for him called The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. And it was very successful. It was one of the top 10, because we were in personal health, self-help, I think. And it was always a top 10 show. It was really good. And then I was probably 18 months into doing that, and David was climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and we needed a show. I'm from a showbiz. I'm a drummer, and I'm from a showbiz background. So it was like, hey, the show must go on. So we needed a show on a Thursday, and so I jumped on and did a 45-minute show on social media for The Kick-Ass Life, episode number 86. And it was like when I hit stop, I was like, huh, that was easy, you know? And then I got all these emails from people that are like, you should do that. So I guess all that Howard Stern listening as a kid maybe helped or something. But yeah, I was like, huh, that's interesting. And so I thought maybe I should start a podcast. And I was talking to another buddy about it. And then I ended up having lunch with Pat Flynn here in San Diego. We were just hanging out for a couple hours, and we were talking about everything. We talked about, you know, life and girlfriends and cars and fashion and whatever. And he stopped in the doorway and he was like, "Dude, thank you. I never get to do that. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, every time I ever talk to anybody, it's always about business. It's always SPI. And I said, oh, that's interesting. What if I did a show that we sort of talked around everything the person was known for? So we really got to know who they were as humans, because I think that if we view them from that lens, we can see the choices they make. And when we understand the choices that successful people make, we understand the game. We understand why people are successful versus a tactical approach to like, here's 10 things to do this or 5 things to do this. I want to understand why you do what you do. And if I can exemplify that, you know, as a broadcast host and as an entrepreneur, and I can also get the data from all the people I interview, then I think, you know, my thought was it would be successful. And so I was really the only one in 2013 that was doing these long form interviews. We were doing sort of these marketing ones where, you know, they were a little more quick hit. And I really embraced the, as you know now, I really embraced the responsibility of being a good podcast host, because I think that entertainment is always number one in front of value or data or any of that. I always think if my audience is entertained, they will be paying attention. And so I work on that part. I work on the part where there's personality and I try to put an interesting show together over anything else. And that was 4 years and 10 million downloads ago. So here we are.
Michael, thank you for sharing with us that backstory. And one of the things about solopreneurs is, you could say your thoughts on this, and I'm really looking forward to hearing them, but I feel with solopreneurship, it's you could sometimes feel alone in the process. Like, you have an online community, but when you unplug, for instance, it's not like a workplace where you have employees who you could talk to or boss or anything like that. It's much more freedom with solopreneurs. But how can we feel less lonely or less alone during the journey?
So I think that everybody that's in this space at all should focus on getting to at least one conference per quarter. So if you're an internet marketer or a designer, or whatever, really any industry you're in, try to get to a conference about that industry at least once every 3 months, because that's the ultimate way to plug in and start networking with the right kind of people. Because this business is always about relationships. It's not about, you know, your funnel. It's always about relationships. It's the doors that open to you because you've been to a, you know, an event, and you've sat down with somebody in the hallway or in the networking lounge or at the bar or whatever. So those, I would say that's the number one. The number two is, I used to do a thing called Starbitrage and Barbitrage. These are two things that I think I invented. And that was, you're working by yourself, and let's say you want to get out of the house, which I highly recommend. Just get out into the world amongst the people. But don't just go to whatever your local coffee shop is. Drive, if you don't live there already, drive to the nicest neighborhood in your city or into the like downtown part of your city where all the wealthy people are, and go to that Starbucks or that coffee shop. That's what I call Starbitrage. And then, because you're just surrounding yourself with those people. And then what I would do is right around 4:30 in the afternoon, I would go to some high-end steakhouse, either like in a hotel or, you know, an independent one. I was, in my case, this was Cherry Creek in Denver. And then I would go to like Morton Steakhouse or Elway's or something like that. And I would just set my laptop up on the bar. You'd have to pick one that has Wi-Fi and get a glass of happy hour wine for $5 or whatever. And I start working. And then by 6-7 o'clock, the place would be booming, and it would be all the most successful people in my city around me. And so what happens is success recognizes hustle. So ultimately somebody would walk up to me and go, hey, what are you doing? What are you working on? Why are you working on a computer in the middle of a bar? And I'd strike up a conversation with someone. And once they understood where my head was and what I was working on and kind of what my ambitions were, they were very fascinated. Well, sometimes they were. They weren't always. But sometimes they were interested, and they'd be like, hey, you want to come join us for dinner? Well, I ended up at like country clubs and on yachts and on, you know, really like dinner with super successful CEO types And I'd had him hanging on my words talking about social media because those people don't connect with that as much. So it's a great way for you to be in front of people that you would not normally get to be in front of. And it doesn't really cost you much other than like a $5 glass of happy hour wine.
It's really interesting how you're connecting with people, like not just online, but also offline in your community and at conferences related to your niche. And for people who are in a niche similar to you where they are creating content, whether it be for podcasts, blog, or video, can you share with us some of the conferences you go to? Like, what would be your list?
Yeah, there's a few that I love. One's called Thrive, Make Money Matter. It's put on by a guy named Cole Hatter. That one typically happens in the fall. And then I think it was like attendthrive.com. I love Social Media Marketing World. Michael Stelzner and his team put that on, Phil Mershon. And that typically happens end of February, March in San Diego. Right before it is another great one called Traffic and Conversion, which is really very, like if you're into the marketing, online marketing world, it is, it's like the super tactical stuff. It's really good. And that one happens just before Social Media Marketing World. I want to say like mid Feb. I like CES, but only because it's just for gear. What else? There's one called Amplify I like in Vegas that happens in the middle of the summer. And that's put on by Keith Yakey, Y-A-K-E-Y. And I forget what – is it Amplify LV? I forget the domain name for that one. If you're a podcaster, I love PodFest Multimedia Expo. That one happens in Florida in February sometime, I think. I mean, you have to double check on these dates. Let's see what else. What other ones do I love? Oh, the other one is that's interesting is what is it called? Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm forgetting the name of this one that happens in Oregon, in Portland. Anyway, well, it's I like the idea of I'll think of it at some point before the
this
end.
This is a great list.
Yeah. Those are all really good. Those are all I'll be at every one of those things I just listed, by the way. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. I know there's more, but I'd have to look at my calendar and actually see where I'm going and what the kind of place is. Because what it is now is, I feel like at this point, I know what the good conferences are, and I tend to just go to the ones I know that I'm gonna get some good value out of. Oh, the other ones I really like are that are really coming along is Social Media Day. So Social Media Day has become a thing. Social Media Day San Diego was great last year, 2 years ago. Social Media Day Denver, I was at this last year. Joel Kamm and Aaron Sell ran that one. It was a great event. But really, it's just about you got to kind of see where some of the people you know and like and follow are attending and go to those events. Like, just make it happen. And you can make it happen by you can unconference, which is if you can't afford the ticket. Most of what happens that's cool at conferences anyway happens at the bar or in the networking lounges. So you can just go and show up and, you know, have your laptop in the in fact, I've done that with Traffic and Conversion every year. I've never gotten a ticket to that one. But I go to all the parties and I'm in the lobby of the Marriott the whole time. And I just sit and connect with people and meet people and record podcasts and do all kinds of stuff in there. So you don't have to pay for the ticket sometimes. You can just show up and shake some hands and kiss some babies.
That's a really interesting idea of, I mean, the focus of you going to these events is to communicate with people, and any type of value or keynote is just a bonus. But some people are more introvert while other people are more extrovert. So how would you recommend people who are more on the introvert side to be able to speak up and ignite these conversations with other attendees?
You've either researched what I do or that was a really lucky question you've just asked, Mark. So I've had a method. So I have a free course if you guys want to check it out. It's called Conferencetopia, which teaches you all the stuff we're talking about right now, just how to network better, how to build better relationships with people that can build your business, and it's free. It's at conferencetopia.com. But one of that I have a very specific method for that, and it's called the FORM method. FORM stands for Family, Occupation, Recreation, Motivation. So this is a framework that you can use if especially if you're shy, to have a conversation with anybody. And the idea is, if you and I had just met, and let's say I ran into you at, you know, we're waiting for a subway or something, and I'd be like, hey man, what's going on? You know, I'm Michael. Oh, yeah, Mark, cool. Are you from around here, Mark? Yeah, cool. Is your family here? You know, whatever. And so we talk about that for a minute. And then say, what do you do? And you're like, well, I'm a blogger and I'm a podcaster and I'm an entrepreneur and cool, man. What kind of things are you talking about? So you talk about that for a couple of seconds and you go, so you live in New York or in New York area. What are you doing for fun? You know, and you can't be working all the time. And you might go, oh, well, really, like, I have a stamp collection, whatever you like. And so we'll talk about that for a second. Be like, cool. And then why? Like, what made you start this blog? Or what, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? And so that is sort of a subtle way of walking through this FORM process. But it gives you, they say it takes 5 connecting points to establish rapport with anybody. So if you can have those, if you can have that conversation and start establishing those connecting points, then you're well on your way to someone going, hey, you know what? It's cool. I didn't even know you emceed, you know, a conference. Somebody I know is having a conference. They need an MC. You know, things like that happen from good conversations like that.
Michael, thank you for sharing with us how we can connect with other people and be able to have those conversations with them, because as we do pursue our goals, it can sometimes feel like we're alone, but going to these conferences definitely opens the door to more opportunities and meeting more people. But when we are hunkered down doing our work and pursuing our goals, how do we make sure we're taking massive action on our goals? Because there are some people, like, you could have the goals set but then not do anything. So how do we actually take the action we have to take?
Have you ever read the book, The One Thing?
Yes.
I like that. I like that idea. That's the one that works for me. I'm super ADD, so I end up having to accommodate that in a number of different ways, between music that helps me focus. Sometimes I have different supplements that help me focus, things like that. But ultimately, you know, I like the idea of having, I have this a window right in front of my desk, and I use it as a whiteboard, and I just have write the stuff down. I'll wake up in the morning and just start writing stuff that I need to get done during the course of the day. And then I just sit and, you know, bang on it. And I also like the Pomodoro technique a lot. It's the, you know, I'll work for 45 minutes and then take 15 minutes off. Like, so 45 straight focused and then take 15 off and then 45 straight focused. If I can do a couple of those a day, you know, maybe like 3 or 4, then I feel like I've had a really good productive day. But that's about the extent of it for me. I don't work. I'm not like an 8-hour, 10-hour a day work kind of dude. I never have been. So everything I've built and done has been really accommodating my own hobbies. I like to play with my stuff too much. So I do that. I make sure I weave that in. And that's, you know, again, I'm 46, so I've been through this a little bit. I don't compromise my lifestyle because of work too much. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I don't do the move anymore where, you know, I would go to work when it was dark and come home when it was dark. I just don't do that. I'm like, I'm going to do, or if I had to, I would absolutely take a break in the middle of the day and go do other things that I wanted to do. You know?
Yeah. And I definitely believe that balance is really important, because you could have, like, working at 7 a.m., coming home at 10 p.m., golden handcuffs, but then you're not able to live out the lifestyle that is beyond your work. And yet you're doing so much with the Solopreneur Hour podcast and all of your other initiatives. So how do you strike that balance? Because, with a job as an employee, it's a very strict, like, 9-to-5 the rest of the time. But as an entrepreneur, we have that freedom, which, like, some people use that freedom to live that balanced lifestyle, like you. Others work for over 80 hours a week. So how do we find the balance between work and our lives outside of the work?
I don't think you find it. I think you make it. You have to schedule it. It has to be like, think about the people you know that are super fit. You know, their workout is not, it's a non-optional activity in their day. They do it every day. It's part of, like, if they didn't do their workout, something would be weird and they wouldn't feel right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they don't, so it's, it has to be on your schedule. Like I said, kind of like the one thing, you've got to schedule that time to do the things that you want to do. So, you know, if you want to, I play racquetball and I like to ride my BMX bike and do all kinds of stuff, but I have to do that. I got to have it on my schedule. If I don't, then it disappears. So you've heard this before, but people say, you know, if it's on the schedule, then it's real. And that's exactly how I feel. I feel like if it's on my schedule, then it's real. And if it's real, then it can get done. So I think that whether it's social activities or something that you want to be fit or healthier. So a perfect example is like, you know, between when I wake up and typically around 9:30, I do either an entrepreneurial walk where I'll just, or I'll do an entrepreneurial gym visit. So basically what that means is that I won't, I'll go take a walk or I'll take a run. It's usually about 5 miles, or I'll jump on a treadmill or something like that. And, I have to listen to something that is entrepreneurial while I'm doing that. So it's a podcast or it's a book or something like that. And that's the only thing I'm allowed to listen to. After that, I don't consume anything entrepreneurial. I listen to mostly stand-up comedy, and I'll listen to fiction or something like that during the course of the day. I don't necessarily want to be influenced like that with everybody. So I'll do that, and then I'll make breakfast, and, you know, then I'll work from 10 to 12 or 10 to 1 or whatever. And then I might have racquetball at 3 or something like that. But my day has a general structure to make sure that I not only get my stuff done, but I have some fun along the way.
And I really like the fact that you're mentioning scheduling everything that you do, because if you don't schedule it, I mean, you have no limit to how much you can put something off. But once it's on the calendar, it's a lot more firm than something where you just say, oh, I'll do it at some point. And one of the things that you definitely have to schedule is podcast interviews. And you've done a lot of interviews over at the Solopreneur Hour podcast. But I was wondering, what have you learned about the Solopreneur process from interviewing all the guests that you've had on your podcast? Is there anything that you've heard from a guest or some ideas that you've heard during your journey as a podcast host that have stood out?
Yeah, the most successful people in the world say yes first and then figure out how to they make the details work after that. So something will happen. Somebody will have an opportunity or whatever. They'll go, yeah, let's do it. And then they'll figure out how to make it work. Whereas most, you know, what I would say normal or average people would say maybe, and then think of 10 reasons why they couldn't do something. I don't have time. I don't have money, whatever. They'll figure out a way to not do something. So I will say that in general, the people that kind of say yes first and they lead into stuff are more opportunities come their way. And when they do come their way, they find the flexibility to make it happen.
Michael, thank you for sharing what you've seen in successful people as you interview them. And it's really fun to see with each interview what you're going to learn from that interview. And one of the questions that I really enjoy asking to just gather more insights so that listeners can benefit more from each episode I produce is, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
They either don't execute, like they just don't do it. They just don't take action on it. God, there's so much that holds people back. They don't have the mindset yet. You got to fix your brain early to make sure that you know that you can actually do this stuff. Part of the issue is, this is where really coaching comes in to play, which I think everybody should have at some level, some kind of coaching, is you don't know that you know enough. You know, so there's a lot of people that I'll talk to that I remember I spoke at this guy, Chris Ducker's mastermind in the Philippines, and it was an expensive ticket. You know, it was like a $3,000 ticket, and then you had to be in the Philippines. So the people there were pretty far along their journey. You know, these people spent, you know, $5,000 to $7,000 to come to this event, and there was probably 50 of them. And we're sitting there at these round tables with them having conversations. And I'm going, man, they've got their stuff together so much more than I do. And they have no idea. Like, they have no idea that they were fine a year ago. They could have done this a year ago, but their brain isn't there yet. So that's why I think it's really helpful to have a coach. And I think a lot of successful people will tell you that's a great place to go. And I don't mean that, you know, you buy courses, because everybody buys courses, but to really have somebody that goes, yeah, here, you've got the pieces in place, make that happen. So that is one of them. The other one is just to be as resourceful as you possibly can. So there's very few things now that, if you really want to learn, there's very few things now that you have to pay for. Like YouTube is such an amazing resource for us. And almost everybody has put a bunch of free great content out on YouTube. So you can probably find what you need there. But I mean, other than those two things, it's just not enough people take action on it. The stuff just falls by the wayside. So it's really nice to have accountability, and I'll sort of lead back into that, the coaching side.
In all my interviews with various experts on the show, coaching is definitely something that has come up very often. So if you're on the fence for it, I just strongly recommend getting the coach after proper research has been done, because that's definitely going to help you grow your business. But regardless of whether you have a coach or not, there are going to be certain challenges along the way. That's just part of any journey. So Michael, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Let's see, the old what's the biggest challenge question. I think the biggest was having to start over in my mid to late 30s. That was quite a challenge. I'd come back on my connecting flight from I was in Brussels for a few months, spreading my parents' ashes there. And I landed on my connecting flight, and I had $14. And I also had this idea of, I don't know what I want to do, but I know what I don't want to do is ever work a dollar for an hour again. So that was the biggest challenge for sure. And then what I learned from that is, you know, time can be an enemy or an ally. Time is, it's your perspective. It's all perspective. It's, you know, you've heard that thing where life is, you know, 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. That very much that is the case. And in almost everything, whether it's a car accident or a fender bender, or, you know, some kid smashes your window with a baseball, or, you know, somebody spills milk. It's just like, how do you respond to those kinds of things? And environment is so much stronger than willpower. So, you know, when we hear those things like, you know, you're the product of the five people you spend the most time with, pay attention to those. Look around and look at your family and friends and see the kinds of attitudes they're bringing to life. Because if you are around people that are negative, and the way they respond to adversity is negative, and, you know, F this and complaining and blaming and all those things, you gotta divorce yourself from those people, even if they are great friends or family, you know, because they're not going to serve you to the next level. Doesn't mean you have to never talk to them again. But it just means that you're like, you know what? I'm not going to spend as much time. I'm going to surround myself with these positive people, which again is what happens at events and things like that. So I would say that, you know, the overcoming part is the attitude. It's when you're an entrepreneur, just expect that it's not going to go the way you expect it to. That's how it is. You're going to go, oh yeah, of course that happened. And it's just going to be, all right, well, how do we adapt to this? Can I be resourceful? Can I be adaptive? And I think if you stay that way and keep that positive attitude, you can do just about anything.
Michael, thank you for sharing with us that big challenge and the lessons you learned during that challenge. And earlier during our interview, you mentioned The One Thing, which I agree is a really amazing book. And I ask guests to recommend three of their favorite books. So in addition to The One Thing, can you share with us two additional books that you believe make a great impact on our businesses?
Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. I remember asking John Lee Dumas, I said, what book, what's the number one book on fixing people's finances? And he goes, oh, Profit First. Easy. So that's that. So that would be one. I think if I interviewed 600 people or 600 millionaires or had them all in a room together and I said, what book most impacted your business? I think most of them would say The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. And I'm picking books that I don't know that everyone has said. And then the other one would be, let's see, what's my, Probably StrengthsFinder 2.0 by Tom Rath is a really good one. And that book is, it's kind of an online test. You can't take the, it has to be brand new, and you shouldn't take the audio of it. You need to buy the actual book. And it will, it's essentially this 140 question survey. And when you're finished with the survey, it'll spit out your five greatest strengths and who you should surround yourself with and the type of work that you should be doing. And it's uncannily accurate. So it's a great book for you. If you're trying to figure out kind of where do I go next, it's a great book to get yourself, at least get a nice self-assessment going on.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those links and those show notes will be at markaberry.com/E95. This is normally a good opportunity to ask the where can we find you on the web question, but the last question instead is going to be where I flip the tables on Michael. So what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Is this an income-producing activity or not? Yeah, is what I'm doing right now going to produce me income? And I think we need to be putting a fair bit of our efforts into things that'll actually produce income versus vanity metrics.
Michael, thank you for giving us those great insights throughout this episode, for giving us that great question. And for anyone who wants to learn more about Michael, head over to solohour.com and find him at solohour on all the various social networks. Michael, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Mark, it was my pleasure. Thank you. And looking forward to hearing more about you when you make it here over to the West Coast.
Breakthrough Success listeners, I need your help to keep this show running. I choose not to use sponsored ads in my episodes to provide you with a better experience. However, this decision gives me little money to pay for storage in my team, which comes over to over $1,000 per month. So please consider supporting the Breakthrough Success Podcast on Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/markguberty. For as little as $1 per month, you can help Breakthrough Success stay running while taking advantage of exclusive content and other perks that come with being a patron. To help support Breakthrough Success, head over to patreon.com/markguberty or search for Breakthrough Success on Patreon. That way, I can maintain the Breakthrough Success podcast so it stays running and provide you with valuable episodes.